This is highlight number 14 in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Jesus, the great high priest. Here are the first six verses. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes his honour on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Abraham was in the same way. Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Chapter 5 starts with what may be a somewhat idealized description of life with the original high priests. All too often, a man appointed to a high position will forget his background and begin to lord it over people rather than dealing gently with them. Perhaps, you may retort, it was different because these men were appointed by God, not man. But we must remember that although Abraham was appointed by God, he became the prime mover at the incident of the golden calf, so even that was no guarantee of always having a good man in post as the high priest. Anyway, after quoting two Old Testament statements, our writer proceeds to talk about Jesus, where he was on firmer ground. And so we come to verses 7 to 10, which are indeed the central statement of the whole book. Here they are. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. The curious use of Melchizedek is a big subject which comes to prominence in chapter 7. So we will look at it then. There are two possible ways to see problems in these verses. Was Jesus originally disobedient if he had to learn obedience? And was he less than perfect if he had to be made perfect? These two things touch on the very central core of the Christian faith. It is the common view of people that it is best to be strong and dominant, to be one who does not give way or suffer being put down. Jesus taught otherwise, but his way is so different, even he had to learn it in his obedience to his Father. It came to a pinnacle as he approached the cross. It was his supreme test. And as the perfect student only reaches perfection when he or she sits the exam and achieves 100%. So it was only when Jesus was put to that final test that he could be shown to be perfect. Paul puts it beautifully in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, when he says, "Who, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Of course, Paul then goes on to say, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's it. The way up is down. Our Lord and Master lowered himself, setting us an example which is very hard to follow. If we are naturally not one of nature's strong men or women, it is not so difficult. But if we are one of them, then it is very hard to walk as he walked. He is the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. May the good Lord find us to be those who obey him.